Before I get started, I want to introduce you to myself, Elder Carmella Jackson in the house. And to my right,
Ellen Victoria.
And we may have a couple of other young women who are going to join us. Tonight's panel will be the women talking. Amen? We're going to talk about discipline and correction. Not a subject, a favorite subject for most of us, right? And if you've been with us previously, you know we've been studying the book of Proverbs. So tonight, we're going to start in Proverbs 14. But you know the Holy Spirit leads us into all types of places in the Word once we get started. We want to offer you the opportunity, if you have any questions or any thoughts, we are on Facebook Live, and you can type it in, and somebody will be able to bring it to us, and we'll be able to answer it. Here in our congregation audience, anyone who has a question or has a thought that they'd like to share, they're free to come up and do that. This is a free space, and we're hoping that everyone freely receives tonight. Amen? Okay, let's get to it. So, Proverbs 14. And we're going to also touch on Proverbs 15 as well. Both of those books are about discipline and correction as the theme. But there's a lot of nuggets within those two books that really help us to become grounded in our lives. And so each with their nuggets bring insight, and they help us to conquer some of the things that go on in our lives that seem to try to overtake us. The books also help us to compare two ways of living, one with wisdom and one with what they call folly. These themes, they emphasize how our choices lead us either into life and stability or into a life of destruction and shame. You know, I'm going to pause there for a minute, because as we start going through this book, I want to put a piece of scripture on your mind that I believe we're going to talk about a little more in reference to this destruction and instability. Anybody remember the story about the prodigal son and how he went off to do the film home thing and insisted that his father give him all of what he considered what belonged to him, and then went and wasted it all and was living like a pig, and then finally returned? I just gave you a quick synopsis, but you put that on your mind. It really is a very good depiction of how not having self-discipline can lead you to a path of real destruction. So let's start. Victor, you want to read the first one, the power of wisdom, in verses 1 through 3 for me. Do you have that one? 1 through 3. Yeah, you're 13. I'm sorry. I said 14. 13. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Power of discipline and correction. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Key point to that is correction is a gift. Wise people receive it and grow. Fools ignore it and suffer. Guarding your words protects you. But loose, reckless speech brings destruction.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that? Anybody knowing? Any thoughts on it? Come on, Samantha, take a look at the mic, though. We want to make sure that our audience can hear you.
I was thinking about how I was so grateful and because I'm like, oh, you just don't understand. You don't know what I'm feeling. You don't understand. Like, I know it's easy to say, but you don't understand. And I'm just grateful for the friends that I have around me because she was like, you know, maybe I don't understand, but God gave us, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. We have self-control. You know, we have self-control. So don't let, you know, when you're angry, you know, you know that you have self-control. You can control your tongue. You can control your mouth. And, you know, we talk about other stuff, praying for deliverance and things like that, but I'm so glad for, you know, the friends and the correction of my friends, because it's made such a huge difference, you know.
Absolutely. That's a good start right there. Because often, we're in the presence of people who do not respond in what we call godliness when we are being reckless. Can you remember a time in your life where you were with friends or family? Where everybody seemed to be on the same page and the page just wasn't good. Somebody in the house started a conversation about what wasn't right, and then Sally Jane joined in and Uncle Tom joined in. And before you know it, everybody in the room was having the same conversation that had no godliness to it. That's reckless speech. And if you don't have someone who can enter in and bring some correction to it, it can really get out of hand. And that is one of the traits of being, of having reckless behavior or undisciplined behavior, that it will get out of hand. So it's wonderful to have somebody, a friend or a family member, who can speak to the situation and then draw you back to self-discipline, because it is about self-disciplining yourself. And then you hear the word of correction. But that means you're also adding ear to ear. That was excellent. I'm going to share this with you. There's reasons why we need discipline and correction. I'm going to give you four really good reasons. First of all, discipline and correction bring wisdom and understanding. This scripture that we're reading this week, Proverbs, repeatedly states that those who heed correction gain wisdom and understanding. Second, avoiding the word folly is how the Bible puts it, because we have all kinds of terms for that. That means nonsense. We say nonsense. What else word would you use for folly? Foolishness. Anybody else got another word for folly? Confusion. So, avoiding folly is another reason for discipline and correction. Rejection of discipline is equated with folly and self-deception. That word deception, put that in your mental notes. Thirdly, a path to life. Discipline is presented as a guide to fulfilling life, while ignoring correction leads to wandering. I don't think most people would think of leading, not having correction, lead you to wandering. But if you think about young people, I'm talking, let's say children, who aren't receiving correction, how they seem to be out of, we use the word control. You ever been around a child that was not your baby, your baby's really good, you know, who's your baby, but they're bouncing off the walls and throwing things, and not necessarily out of anger, just and nobody around in the room corrects them. You hear people say, but he's just a baby. So at that point, when did we start teaching this discipline and correction? At what age would you say is important to teach discipline and correction? Small. Do you have a number you think is good? As soon as they are able to move independently, is when we really should start correcting them. And the correction is teaching them through the Word of God. Okay, I'm gonna elaborate on that in a minute. Number four, growth and improvement. So discipline brings correction. I mean, discipline and correction brings growth and improvement. Discipline is seen as a means of shaping character. That's why it's important to teach children, so that they will have to have great character, like integrity. You teach that barrier, and you guide that with correction, and leading to personal growth. So I'm going to read that for you. I'm going back to the word. Proverbs 13, beginning at the fourth verse. The soul of the sluggard deserves and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. I don't know if last week, did you talk about what was the soul? So let me elaborate on that, because sometimes we read the word, and one of those words, if we don't quite get the understanding, doesn't give us the fullness of what God is saying to us. So we know that our soul is made up of our senses, our minds, and our emotions. Say it again. Mind, will, and emotion. Your will comes from your mind. Your mind moves the body. So the soul is really, if you want to put it plainly or simply, the soul is the things that are operating in the earthly realm. Mind, this body system, senses, those emotions that you use. Mind means your thoughts. That's your soul. So it's important to know that in this scripture, the soul of the sluggard desire, sluggard means somebody slow. Slowful. Not slow means mentally slow. Meaning they're lazy. Meaning they don't do what they should do when they should do it. So the soul of the sluggard desires, and that means that they, because they're slowful, they don't get what they need or want. Why? Why would you think that is the case? Why would you think that is the case? Why would a slowful person not get what they need or want?
They're not trying to put the work in to try to make it their life how they want to make it.
The word says that a man who doesn't work doesn't eat. And that means that not that you just don't eat food, that means that you don't gain when you don't work. And work is, you know, that's very depending on the person and the gift and the purpose. But all of us were designed to work. That's not another teaching, not over there. Okay. So, number five. A righteous man has lying, hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. I'm going to pull that up in the eye there. Everybody get that? Yes, please do. She should look at my course. I appreciate it. But someone out there needs to hear you too.
Consistently righteous man hates lying and deceit, but a wicked man is loathsome. His very breath spreads pollution, and he comes surely to shame.
So a wicked man, that slothful man, comes to shame. Ooh, y'all quiet. So let me. I love that version because it explains to you that. What happens with people who are slowful about fulfilling the obligation, purpose, or destiny that God, which is part of the work, has for them, come to shame. Shame, like being poor, really, really, really poor. Now, that doesn't say everybody's poor. The Holy Spirit says that the poor would always have with us. That doesn't necessarily mean that everybody's poor and slowful. But those are the results of some slowfulness. Or not attaining the level God has purposed you for. And no motivation. That's part of the slowfulness, no motivation. Not to be motivated to move past what is the comfort zone. Or the, you know, we call it laziness. The laziness. So it's really important that we learn to get corrected from those things. Number six. Righteousness keeps him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. Righteousness. I probably need to get, I should have put my message right, because then the diaphragm kind of throw people off from trying to play. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Right, righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. Come on. This is interactive. This is not about us. No, this is not a lecture. This is a class.
The message is, a God-loyal life keeps you on track, and sin dumps the wicked in the ditch.
Wow. Wow. Can any of you relate to any of the scriptures that are happening? You think of anywhere where someone was dumped in a ditch. One of them has to. Yeah. He was in the pit of despair. Joseph, who had done no wrong though, but his brothers dumped him in the pit. Their unrighteousness dumped, my point is, their unrighteousness dumped an innocent person in a pit. So it can not only happen to the person who is unrighteous or living slothful, or as we are currently talking about, not disciplined, that those people can cause other people to go through suffering because of their own slothfulness or lack of discipline in the one prayer. Do the next three for me.
Listening to correction is a sign of wisdom and maturity. Living and protected shows you some unnecessary harm. Wealth, integrity, and justice, verses 7 through 11. One pretends to be rich and yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor and yet has great wealth. He points some people big wealth to impress, while others quietly prosper.
Wow. Okay, so I know when I first studied this word, I thought, because my body broke down in such a manner. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, dear. My body broke it down in contention. Contention comes from pride. So I had to ask the question to our Father, God, we're talking about correction here. We're talking about discipline. How does this pride thing play in? So the truth is, when you're prideful, you're not accepting wisdom. Yes, ma'am, because you think you know it all. You think you know it all. Or there's two sides to pride. Part of the pride is because you think you know it all, you know everything. The other pride is stems in fear. And you stay prideful because you're fearful of people not knowing that you don't know. Or you don't know, and you're fearful of the outcome of acting like you don't know. Fear really can be the root of much of even what we're talking about right now. When you are not embracing correction and discipline, people today have become fearful of that because of the pride. Yes, ma'am. I love this. I love interaction. In fact, you can come up and sit with me if you want.
Can you repeat the last part of what you were saying about
fear is really the root of most of this. People can be afraid. Their pride can actually be stemming from being afraid of people knowing that they either don't really know or they really don't know and don't know what to do with them.
So it could be a fear of rejection.
And rejection is one of
the things. When people realize that they don't know anything, they're afraid of being rejected.
Yes.
And rejection is the main root of a lot of things that go hand in hand with rejection.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, well said, well stated, and well elaborated on. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, fear could be a monster. You know, here at Faith Harvest, we have a little acronym for FEAR, and we say that FEAR freezes every available resource. That really is absolutely true across every avenue and every venue of life, because when you're fearful of things, typically it will keep you from moving forward. Fear can literally have a physical effect on you. They can keep you from hearing correctly, keep you from thinking correctly, keep you from moving correctly. So fear really can be the root of a lot of this.
No, I was just thinking, I feel like lately I can relate to that a little bit, especially as a mother. I was just thinking recently, like, I feel like I'm not, like, stuck, but I feel like I'm, like, I don't know what the word is, but I'm, like, I need to progress or something. But I feel like fear is kind of what's stopping me. Like, I'm saying, especially as a mother, before I make decisions or before I do something, I want to make sure everything is, you know, is correct before I take the step, and sometimes I feel like I need to take the step and then make it. Like, does that make sense?
Absolutely.
I feel like kind of,
yes.
Like lately, fear has kind of been hindering me. Yeah.
I read that word too.
Yeah.
And it is. Fear will hinder you. Fear will freeze your resources. When we say resources, we're talking about the God-given resources as well as the resources that are available to you in the earthly realm. And so, this is one of the areas I really like to work in. Fear will make, like I said to you, it will stop your brain from working right. It will stop your body from moving as well. But the root of all fear, you might know the root of fear, is a lack of faith. The opposite of fear is faith. The opposite of faith is fear. Why so? Because when you operate in faith, then you're not fearful. Because faith says, I truly, fully trust God and the Word. Okay? Now, that's not a condemnation for you. This is an area of growth for lots of people because they don't know that when I'm fearful and I'm stuck, it's because I'm not being faithful and trusting God. Can you say that again? So another acronym for fear is face everything and arise. Excellent. On the fear. Yeah, that's good. Oh, that's real good. Oh, that I like that. You gonna use it right now?
Right now, I'm a little bit fearful because, you know, I'm not used to being trying to hold on to people.
Right.
So I was really fearful. Come up here because I'm always better. But I'm feeling better, you know. The whole time I was up here, I was like, kind of like, all right, don't be fearful. It's going to be okay. Everybody has loves each other. Everybody loves God. Everybody's going to be, it's going to be okay. You don't have to be, you say something crazy, it's all right. Nobody cares. But, you know, so right now I'm battling that right this second, the fear. And I'm like, you know, I'm getting through it because I'm putting my faith on fear at this moment. So I'm going to feel the transformation in a minute because I'm, you know, praying myself up.
Glory to God.
Because I was really faithful coming up here. I mean, fearful coming up here a little bit.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm all right.
Yep.
How bad that many times.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm
going
to, I just shifted.
They're down at the beach.
And that's okay. You know, we're not stuck. The only thing that never changes is God. We don't get stuck in places, but just to address that thing, that was a powerful testimony. It was a right now testimony, so that people can see how quickly operating faith does move us. And when we do that, not only does it move us, it then opens up the channels, I'm going to use that term, for the Holy Spirit to be able to minister to us that will move us faster. I'm going to use that term. That doesn't mean you're going to be running marathons. But it does mean that you'll look up and go, oh my God, I didn't think I could get here. How did I do that? Oh, I really did. Oh, that's already done. Oh, I got to do that. Because once you stop letting fear stop you, The Holy Spirit can move through you in ways that are unimaginable to us as human beings. He's not confined to what we're thinking, which is extremely important for us to remember. Even when we're talking about discipline and correction, because he knows how to get to us in many ways that maybe a human word may not. Okay, that's it. You another path, okay? All right. So I'm going to go back to scripture one more time. Well, a couple more times. We're back to 13. And 13, Proverbs 13 and 13. If you out there in media land have your Bible, get your Bible out and send us some questions and thoughts. Beginning at the 13th verse in chapter 13 of Proverbs, it says, "Whoso despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded." 14, "The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death." 16, "Every prudent man deals with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly." The word likes that word, folly. "A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health." 18, "Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored." I want to put my point, my little point right there. So that takes me to the scripture that I actually remember in the beginning about the prodigal son. Perfect example. "Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction." Prodigal son, if you can remember, I had everything. His father was rich. There was nothing he lacked. There was nothing he wanted for right there in his father's place. But I'm sure, now the word doesn't say this, so this is by sanctified mind. I'm sure, as it always happens, parental and child family household, there were times he was getting instructions or directions from his father that he probably wasn't so happy with. Because otherwise, why would he need to leave? Why would he want to go? Anybody ever thought of that question? Why did he feel like he was, or was he just folly? Was he just missing? He thought he was just missing out on something? That's called folly. There you have it. Folly, lacking good sense. So he thought he's missing out on something, even though he was getting good living at the home, or at the farm, and no doubt good instruction, but wasn't enough. So the folly took him away from all that was good into an arena or a living of scandalous kind of living. If you read the word, it tells you that he wasted all his money on scandalous living, which meant women probably drinking and partying and all those things that come with unholy living. And then his money was gone. And a bunch of friends, anybody been there? A bunch of friends who said all kinds of things to him when he had the money. But then when he was broke, he realized there was nobody around. Nobody offering food, nobody offering a place to live, nobody. Because he decided to live away from, as this verse says, home, and refused instruction that his father may have given him, which took him right into poverty. The shame part of that was that he looked around and saw that the pigs were eating better food than he could get. He had to be really shameful at that point to realize he used to be able to be in a house where the table, the spread was set, all kinds of delicious foods, and other people were serving him. Now he was in the pen with the pigs, with the flock, and the people were feeding the pigs, and they were feeding him. Oh, that had to be a lot of shame. Come on, sister.
So the Message translation is basically saying, basically telling the story of the prodigal son in verses 16 to 18. And it says, a common sense person lives good sense. Fools litter the country with silliness. Irresponsible talk makes a real mess of things, but a reliable reporter is a healing presence. This is what we're talking about. Refuse discipline and end up homeless. Embrace correction and live an honored life.
Excellent.
So that's why he ended up that way, because he didn't want to receive the discipline from the house. He just wanted to get blessed without the
instruction. Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. Because it really does. Message Bible speaks so plainly and directly to the core of the scripture. Okay. I'm going to go back to 13 again. You have a go to verse 19 for me. Chapter 13, verse 19. No. Okay, he didn't do that. All right, so listen, I'm going to skip some Pastor Rocks because my mindset's not following it as good, but it's all good because it's all word.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all on the same page and we're unified in this. So let's go to, I want to move forward a little bit. I want to go to Proverbs 14. And in this book, it talks about wisdom a lot and integrity. So Proverbs 14, starting at the first verse, and it says, every wise woman builds her home, her house, but the foolish pluck it down with her hands. Anybody ever wonder why the word kept saying says woman here and not persons? Because we're the bride. That's a good response. That's one reason. Anybody got another one? Because we are the ones God has ordained to be the house of providers. Proverbs 31. And that's where the instruction comes in. When we understand the word, when we read the word, we know that it all works together. So in Proverbs 31, it tells you about what we, the women of the family, are a godly assigned to do. And why? So Proverbs 31:10 says, who could find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust her, so that she shall have no need of spoils. I'm going to jump down to 15. This is Proverbs 31:15. She rises also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her house, and a portion to her maidens. 16. She considereth a field, and buyeth with the fruit of her hands. She planted a vineyard. So now she get up in the morning and cook. Absolutely. She's not dealing in folly at all. Okay. She girded her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. That sounds like exercise to me. She perceived that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle. In her hand to hold the distaff. Okay, it's more about her. I read that because that, like, you know, the word is precept upon precept. It builds, each part of the word builds on the other part of the word. So in Proverbs 14, where it talks about every wise woman builds her house, Proverbs 31 tells you how she builds her house. But the instruction comes in with the ability to build your house. So she is not straying from the instruction of the word in order to build her house. So she's a perfect example of someone who does what God says to do and her house, because if you read the rest of Proverbs 31, her house prospers. Okay, let's go back. So let me give you a definition of wickedness so that we understand when we are not obeying, when we're not listening, when we're not taking God to counsel, it brings us to wickedness. So with a literal definition of wickedness, it means twist or wrench, to pervert, subvert, or overthrow. Those are Hebrew definitions. So if we're operating in disobedience, or as we're saying tonight, if we're in not accepting correction, but that's the point out of that. If you're disobedient, that means you didn't accept correction. Then you are absolutely, absolutely operating, as this word says, in perversion, or it's twisted, or another word is wretched. Today they use the what's the word they use when something is a little not good with, in the world? Ratchet. Is that it? Is that the word? Okay, that's the word ratchet. Yeah, yeah. Actually, it's the same word you're talking about. Yeah. So to operate in not accepting correction and not being disciplined, you in today's world call it ratchet. But that's what the word called. You're operating in a twisted manner. Alright, so we go back to word again. 14. Still Proverbs 14, verse 2. It says, he that walketh in his uprightness fears the Lord. But he that is perverse in his ways despise him, meaning the Lord. So in the word tells us that we can't serve the Lord and mammon, which means that either you're gonna love one, the word says, and hate the other, or hate the other and love the other one. Right? So you cannot possibly walk upright unless you fear, or the word fear means reverence. Don't mean scared, like mean respect. In other words, respect the Lord. You can't walk upright unless you respect or reverence God. The word means fear. So if you don't fear him, the word's telling you, or you don't reverence him, then you will live a life that's reckless. Absolutely reckless. Okay. In the mouth of foolish is a rod of pride. We were talking about that at first. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Where no ox are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. Let me get some interpretation. Read it again. So can you get the message for that for me? Yes, ma'am. Come on, what do you think? Okay, I'll read it. Look. Where no ox are, or oxen, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. Yes, ma'am, please.
No cattle, no crops, a good harvest requires a to the plow.
That's good. I got it. I want to see what your interpretations are. Yes.
Yeah. So, if there's no animal or whatever there to take care of, then it's pretty, it looks clean. You know, it seems easy or something. But much increase. Oh, but there's strength. You know, ox brings health and strength, and they, but it requires, getting up and clean. It requires work. So, yeah, kind of like you were saying, lazy.
And you're not. You're going to bed. You're
not like that.
Go to bed. Come on, Victoria. What'd you say?
No ox are purpose pain. Because the ox are no mass, there's nothing to really work on. Or something like that, but what's the reason why the strength of the ox is the same as the strength of the ox?
I'll come back to you.
So I get my translation. So the barn with him, but with him, and we pull up the
So, you're on the path. Everybody knows about oxen. You know that they're big, strong animals. You ever seen a bull in the field? You know, you see the muscles in their bodies, right? And you know that they are used to pull very heavy equipment, like a plow, through a field to break up the fallow ground so that the farmer can plant the seed. So the animal has to be really, really strong because he's pulling a cart. I'm calling a cart. He's pulling a plow. He also is probably have a person behind him holding on. So he's really pulling all of that, and he's pulling it. The plow is going against the resistance of the field so that it can be overturned. So it takes a lot of strength. You with me there? Okay. What this word is saying, a man or person, woman, man, who operates in wisdom, becomes strong enough to be able to care for or plant or overturn their field or their home, meaning they can provide. Fear of the Lord will bring you the strength to do what we will call the impossible task, which means that you will be able to do things for your family, for yourself, that others who don't fear God don't have the power to do. That makes sense? It is because the Holy Spirit asks us to. Coupling is what they call that. They're coupling. But the Holy Spirit can't work unless you're obedient to the Word of God. You know, in the world, even the world will use this term that God don't bless no mess. And I know that the world uses a lot, but it's true. and the fact that if you're operating in disobedience, you're not disciplined, you're not operating in correction, the Holy Spirit cannot fully operate. It can be witchcraft. Yeah. Yes. But that hinders the ability that the Holy Spirit has to help you do the impossible things that you need to be done in your life. Hence, the oxen is very strong. The Holy Spirit is very strong. But you become very strong when you're obedient to the Holy Spirit. Strong in ways that you don't recognize sometimes until it's already done. So in this scripture, the oxen is relative to a person who fears the Lord and has been strengthened through the Holy Spirit to do what is the necessary things in your life, as well as the impossible. Why say necessary? Because you can't plant a seed. Farmers don't plant seeds and soils, they don't turn. So in the natural, if you're explaining this, there are times that you have to move through a process in your life. And you need the Holy Spirit's strength and power to do so. But if you're not taking correction, and you're not taking direction, and you're not disciplined to do it, then let me add the discipline part to it. Most of them, I don't know if you've ever seen someone pull a plow with an ox. They have reins, that's what these cords are called, that are connected to them, and they'll flip them. And the flipping hits the back of the oxen, which makes the oxen go forward. Am I making sense? Y'all hear me? Okay. So that is what the Holy Spirit will do in inspiring you or in encouraging you or guiding you to move forward. You know how you just said, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. You just said, you know, you're working through the Spirit. Okay. That's the Holy Spirit moving. So he gave you a little push. The oxen don't get pushed, they get a little snap in the rain. to move forward. See, God is such a wonderful God that He makes everything applicable to us so that we understand right where we are. So the oxen is the person. It's irrelevant to the person being strong and being strengthened through the Holy Spirit. When the word says, let me go back. The crib is clean. Usually means that when the oxen pulled, let me go back to the example. When the farmer attaches the oxen to the plow, his initial thing is to pull up the roots and clean out the field so that all the weeds are not growing up with the plants that they're putting in or the seeds they're putting in. That's called cleaning the field. He's going to turn the soil. Holy Spirit's going to work on your heart. He's going to turn the soil. And while he's turning the soil, he's pulling out the weeds. We're talking about actual farming now. Holy Spirit does the same thing. And it leaves the field clean. When the Holy Spirit does that, and you've been obedient, and you've accepted the correction of the Holy Spirit, you are clean. Does that make sense?
One, discipline, like, for some reason it comes to me like condemnation. That listening to the Holy Spirit, it reminded me of condemnation because, you know, like they say God is a gentleman, so he's not going to like whip you like the person with ox, but he'll bring like challenges. Like, you know, you'll think about your decisions. You said if you fear the Lord, you'll think about it, and you might do it again, but you'll have that condemnation, and you might do it again, but you'll have that, and then event, you know, like the Holy Spirit will work on you, and but you have to be obedient, and the discipline is important. And it also made me realize, or made me think of a revelation that I had recently. I felt like the Holy Spirit was just like, I don't know why, like 40 days was coming to mind, but it was like the Holy Spirit was telling me to like focus, like really focus for 40 days, in like, you know, in health, fitness, spiritual, you know, focus in 40 days, because it reminded me of when the Israelites were brought out of Egypt. Something that should have taken a few days took them years because they weren't disciplined, and they weren't, you know, so, yeah, I don't know.
That is so powerful. Come on, sweetie, come on. God, she's starting all over. I know we don't have a lot of time left, but I want to come back to that.
So, Samantha, right? Yeah. So, I heard what you said, but I need you to understand that the Holy Spirit doesn't bring condemnation, he brings conviction.
That's right.
The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So, that prodding, that cattle prodding, that whipping, conviction will draw you closer to God. Condemnation pushes you away because it makes you feel guilty and you want to run and hide from God.
Thank you, I thought you were alluding to that. And thank you, sister, for saying that. And you're absolutely right. Like that whip that we're talking about on an ox, the whip is not there to hurt the ox. It's to bring attention and direction to the ox. And the Holy Spirit, she's right, brings the conviction. Change. Now, I've got to address your 40 days. 40 is very important to God. If you read the Bible, when you read the Bible, you'll see 40 days, 40, the number 40 in a lot of different areas. You mentioned the Israelites and their 40-day, their 40-year travel. Christ was in the wilderness. 40 days. 40 days is 40 is a number of change. And it's normally a number of miraculous change. That's God's number of change. Every time you see 40 in the Word, immediately follow it, you will see some type of changes. When Christ went, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and then he was on a mountain, and the enemy tried to, test him and all. He immediately came off the mountain, and his ministry was powerful. Healing, delivery, setting people free. So I thank you for sharing that with us, because it's important to know. And when I heard that you were being obedient to do what the Holy Spirit said, it's going to take discipline. But you got that. See, you didn't say, I don't know if I can do this. And then you heard that it's going to take discipline. That's important. That means you received the word from the Holy Spirit that of direction, which brings correction, which helps you to discipline. Make sense? Awesome. That's so awesome. How much time do we have that for? I'm excited. Okay. I don't know. Come on, Victoria, you haven't said much.
So,
I haven't said much today, but I will next time. I will speak a little bit more. I'll get more comfortable, but I love it. I'm learning so much. I'm in my new learning lane, and I'm so eager to like learn and to like be around beautiful people. I'm never gonna leave because I just want to keep on learning and keep on getting more and more closer to God, to learn His word, and to be disciplined and to continue doing what I'm supposed to.
Okay, so I thank you, honey. I'm just so glad you're here. I'm watching you grow in leaps and bounds. And you have such a joyous spirit, a true worshiper spirit. Yeah, that's so awesome. That's so awesome. Okay, all right, so we only have about 5 minutes left. I do want to share, go back to those four areas that I mentioned in the beginning about the reason we should have discipline and correction. First one is, discipline and correction brings wisdom and understanding. Second thing is, discipline and correction helps you to avoid what the Bible uses, the word he uses about folly, meaning the nonsense. Thirdly, discipline and correction will set your path for life, not death. Fourthly and lastly, discipline and correction bring growth and improvement. Nothing changed. So I hope you got that, those four things, because that's encouragement from the Lord to tell you that we're not just being disciplined or offering correction because we want to control. When we as believers help each other with discipline and or correction, it is always to bring life. Which also means when we offer correction, we have to be careful how we offer correction. One of the things, give me your name one more time. Angie, what I appreciate what Angie did, because if we're not sure that you're not hearing God thoroughly or correctly, as mature believers, we should be able to come to you and say, well, I think God is saying to this, or I heard God say this. Well, this is an explanation, so that when you grasp the correction, or you get a correction, you grasp it, and it helps you to grow. Because you get, as the word says, and all you're getting, get understanding. It's extremely important that you get understanding. So, those of you who are out there immediately, if you have any questions at all, there's no dumb question, no bad question, you have any comments, please feel free to put those in the chat on our Facebook page, and so that we can, if we're not able to answer this week or think of it during the course of the week, go to our webpage, www.fhwcchurch.org, and send us a message, and we will address that during our next session. There's a lot to be learned about discipline correction. We didn't get through half of this, because discipline and correction all do come from God. And once we are operating under discipline and correction, our lives become fuller, our joy becomes fuller, we prosper in all our ways and in God's ways. And so it's almost inexhaustible when you start talking about discipline and correction. I'm hoping on next week when we talk about discipline and correction, we're going to talk a little bit more about how the Holy Spirit really works in all this. And how the Word of God, the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God to bring us to those places of discipline. I mean, one of the things I'm finding in today's world is that this world lacks discipline. Everything goes. Whatever feels good. However I want to do it. And that's not God. There is a, as the world may say, there's a method to the madness. And that is that God actually operates in order. And once we learn that and we discipline ourselves to the order of God, we find so many doors that open up to us that are just blow your mind. Before we go, to all of those out there and all of those here, we welcome you back on next week. We also open up our doors on Sunday at 10:30. We want you to come on in and enjoy yourself in the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and a group of people who just love on you. On behalf of Dr. Raymond D. Williams Sr., who is our lead pastor, and our assistant lead pastor, Pastor Robert Ingram, we thank you for joining us this week. Know that we do many things here at Harvest. We are a full church. Many, we teach, because teaching is the primary. But we love all God's people. And we are here if you need us. Come on in and see us. We also like you to know you're free to give. You'll be giving it to good ground. We believe in raising our children in the way that they should go. And we believe in helping those who can't help themselves. We believe in being about God's business and God's word. Please feel free to give us an offering. I know our Pastor Rob is probably watching, and I can tell him, ministry is free. This is his saying. But it costs to run the building. We'll be happy for whatever God places on your heart to give. And it is not only a blessing for us, but a blessing for you. Thank God for you and your presence and those in the room today. I hope you got something out of this conversation on tonight. Come on back on next Wednesday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10:30 a.m. We look forward to seeing you. May God bless you. May God keep you. May his face shine upon you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Good to go.